Their wives and daughters had been claimed for salt wives, those who were young enough and fair. The crones and the ugly ones had simply been raped and killed, or taken for thralls if they had useful skills and did not seem likely to cause trouble. Theon had planned that attack as well, bringing his ships up to the shore in the chilled darkness before the dawn, and leaping from the prow with a long axe in his hand to lead his men into the sleeping village. He did not like the taste of any of this, but what choice did he have? His thrice-damned sister was sailing her Black Wind north even now, sure to win a castle of her own. Lord Balin had let no word of the hosting escape the Iron Islands, and Theon's bloody work along the stony shore would be put down to sea raiders out for plunder. The Northmen would not realize their true peril, not until the hammers fell on Deepwood Mott and Moat Cailin. And after all is done and won, they will make songs for that bitch, Asher, and forget that I was even here. That is, if he allowed it. Dagmar Cleftjaw stood by the high-carved prow of his longship, Foam Drinker. Theon had assigned him the task of guarding the ships. Otherwise men would have called it Dagmar's victory, not his. A more prickly man might have taken that for a slight, but the Cleftjaw had only laughed. "The day is won," Dagmar called down, "and yet you do not smile, boy. The living should smile, for the dead cannot." He smiled himself to show how it was done. It made for a hideous sight. Under a snowy white mane of hair, Dagmar Cleftjaw had the most gut-churning scar Theon had ever seen, the legacy of the long axe that had near killed him as a boy. The blow had splintered his jaw, shattered his front teeth, and left him four lips, where other men had but two. A shaggy beard covered his cheeks and neck, but the hair would not grow over the scar, so a shiny seam of puckered, twisted flesh divided his face like a crevasse through a snowfield.